Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the duplicate tape of Mr. Teflon's interview from an original 90-minute tape to a 60-minute tape. The interview was done by Bernice Sam. Tape 2.
Do you have to say?
Well, when I lived in Holly Street when I was a child, under 5 years old, across the street from our house was this nursery, this flower nursery, Howard and Smith it was called. It was owned by Paul J. Howard, and I don't remember the name of it, Mr. Smith, but he was a very, very good friend of my father's. In fact, he was one of the early people who helped my father learn English, learn to read and write English. And through the years, they kept in good contact, even though the nursery was moved away and my father had moved away from Olive Street. And I remember my father would say that this Mr. Paul J. Howard was a very, very fine man and such a good friend and helpful to Chinese people and not prejudiced. And he admired him greatly because he was such a fine person. Then they kept in touch, and in about 1929, Paul J. Howard had a nice nursery out in the valley, San Fernando Valley. And I remember we went out to pay him a visit. That's the last time I talked to Paul J. Howard. And my father died a couple of years later. Then among the other people, there were several important patients he had. Mr. Tom Bodger, he was a patient of my father's, and he was the founders of the Bodger Seed Company. That's a big seed company in Lompoc, California now. And he was a very good friend of my father, and we used to go to his house quite often. And it was either feast or famine when it came to Caucasian friends. They were real good, very close, or there were a very few who were just prejudiced.
But for a Chinese family, your family had lots of American friends that you could call good friends.
Yes, we did. Very, very many of them.
So, Taff, what do you do for recreation now?
Now?
How do you spend your time?
Well, I like to get in the car and drive maybe up to Santa Barbara or to Palm Springs and drive around and walk around. And, that's what I do now. I'm not acting like I used to be. When I was young, I'd love to go play tennis or dance.
Do you still go down to Chinatown now?
Yes, I still go down.
Frequently?
Frequently, at least once or twice a week.
To visit or to do your shopping?
Do shopping and eat, dinner once in a while.
What do you think of Chinatown now compared with, let's say, just before the Second World War?
Well, it's so different, you know, than before. Like I said, it was just dilapidated. No paved streets. All the buildings were crumbly and small, no space. I don't see how they did business. Like Wing Chun Lung, they were just a very small place. Yet they did an enormous business. I don't see how they could do it in those conditions. But now Chinatown is beautiful, except for the element of the young gangs that have come in. I think Chinatown has progressed beautifully.
Did you say, Taft, you have two brothers?
Well, I have more than two brothers. We have four brothers and three sisters. Mm-hmm. That means eight in the family.
But have they been back to China for a trip?
The ones who have been back to China have been one sister and two brothers. Recently, they've been back within the last 2 or 3 years.
Do you ever feel like you would like to make that trip?
Yes, I think I would like to make that trip. Now that I'm semi-retired, before I had a one-man business. I was unable to get away, but now that I'm more free, I think I would like to go back. You know?
Would you like to go back to your village to see what your village looked like?
Yes, because my sister went there. She went and tried to trace some of the records from the village, and she found out something, but. Nothing real positive. She knew where we live is now a water and power plant or something. Mm-hmm. And she brought back soil samples to us, each member of the family, a small sample of the soil from our village.
Do you have any more things to add, Tav?
Nothing I can think of right now.
Then I want you to thank you very much for giving up your time for this interview. I certainly appreciate it.
Well, I'm very glad to do it. It's a good cause, and I think that it's something that is lacking here, a good history of the Chinese people, that we are a very proud people, and we should have a history written down and documented. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much, Taft. Taft, since your father was herbalist, do you believe in herbs when you're sick?
Yes, I do. I've learned just through association absorption that the herbs are very beneficial, and I've seen the results. When I was a child and became too active and played too hard, my father would take me in and seat me right there in his office while he was interviewing his patients. I was in the corner, and I could absorb quite a bit even though I was young, and I saw that the results were very good, and the people always were very enthusiastic about the herb results. So I was interested, and gradually I absorbed quite a bit of knowledge just from being there and growing up. And later on, I became kind of a secretary and helped write letters for my father to answer some queries from other patients away from the city. So I am a great believer in herbs. In fact, herbs do are like medicine, only medicine is a concentrated form of the herbs.
Do you now use herb on yourself?
I do. Yeah.
For almost everything?
Mostly for colds or flu. I go down to Chinatown. I have lots of formulas that are left over from my father. He kept very good records. So I know what they're good for, and I can go down there and get a prescription filled, bring it home, and use them. And they're very effective for cold.
Have you learned how to tick pulse?
No. I can find a pulse naturally, but that's very, very difficult to do. My father could do it, but I used to marvel. I'd be sick, and then he would sit down and take my pulse, just about describe what was wrong with me. I was amazed. I said, how can you do that? I thought to myself, I would never question him because he was very imposing. And, you know, when I was young, he was very imposing and authoritative. So I couldn't question him, but I was amazed that he knew what was wrong and how I felt. And then to the patients, sometimes the patients would be amazed. He would tell them how they felt, what was wrong.
Since you knew so much about herb from following your father, mm-hmm. why didn't you take it up and
study
further?
Well, they were banned. As soon as World War II came along, no shipments were allowed into the country of any herbs at all. It had to be smuggled in through Canada.
So it was difficult to get herbs.
Even if I wanted to keep, I couldn't have done so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was very interesting for someone who was born and raised in this country and yet have such faith in herbs.
Yes, well, I could see it. It was right there, and that's why. And the American people have great faith in it. So many patients, they're all Caucasians. And they would recommend, and the business prospered. I remember in the World War I, the flu epidemic.
Oh, yes, I heard
that. At that time, my father had a very good formula, and it saved the lives of many, many people. And during that period of time, I think he made a great deal of money, was very successful on account of that, treating that flu, that dangerous killer flu. And shortly after that, I guess he had enough money to make this trip to China and buy up antiques. He was a great lover of antiques.
Antiques.
Jewelry and rugs. And I think as a result of that, he was able to go back and buy this. And see like those bowls and see along there. He brought back many, many crates. It's all spread around.
So that was the last time your father made a trip to China.
That was in the 20s, yes. Right after World War I.
And what else, Tad?
Well, when I was young, I remember some other things about my childhood. My father was always seemed to get the right things at the right time and the right brands. I like cigars. He loved cigars, but he always managed to get the good brands that they were very popular. I don't know how he was able to find out which were the good brands, but he always did. And champagne, he was very fond of Mumm's, which is a very fine champagne. And whiskey, and anything like that, he always managed to get the right brand. And in fact, when he died, he left quite a few cigars, and I wasn't a cigar smoker. I hated I hated the smell. But there was nobody to enjoy those good cigars, so I took them and I smoked them, and now I'm addicted to cigar smoking. And for instance, clothing. He always insisted that he or the children be well dressed when they go anywhere. He said that was important to give a good impression. And he had his clothes were usually custom made by Eddie Smith. I used to go up to the tailor's office and spend a couple of boring hours waiting for him to pick the fabrics and order his suits. But he always seemed to know where to get the right thing, even though he wasn't able to speak English very well. He was always able to.
He was not
right
able
place.
To speak English very
not
well?
Not real well. Mm-hmm. But he was always able to find the right brands, and I don't know how he did that.
Well, he was just a very unusual man, I would say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like his jewelry, whenever he bought jewelry for my mother or for the girls in the family, he knew where to go. The good jewelers like Brock and Company.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very good spender. He didn't mind spending his money. But mostly he was interested in students, in education. Whenever there was a student from China, he was made his house open to all of them. So that's another reason why they all congregated at our house. So,
yeah, he was just a very remarkable man.
Folks, he couldn't. He wasn't really well read in English, but he always bought good books. These Morocco leather-bound books, like all the president's papers, is that very famous. People, salesmen would come in and show him some beautiful books, even though he never read them himself. He bought them, and we had a library in the home on the third floor of our house. And he bought all these beautiful books and put them up there, and they're still with us. Some of them, they're spread out over the family. But education to him was very, very important. I don't know why, but he always stressed it, and he loved the students. Anybody was welcome if he was a student. And he would spend hours writing in his calligraphy, you know. And he'd try to make us do it, and we hated it. But he would make us write for hours and hours and copy Chinese. Some of the old Confucius saying.
Was his father an herbalist too?
No.
In China?
No, no, his father was.
What was he?
I don't know what his father was, strange to say.
What made him come to America?
I think the one of the herbalists here, his a relative here, was very successful and called him here to the United mm-hmm. States.
Thanks again, Taff.
Okay.
This is the end of the tape of Mr. Taff Lill of Tape 1, Side B, a 90-minute duplication to a 60-minute tape.